Turning again, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings 4 and verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee." And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.' When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near and thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, 'The child is not awaked.' And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call this Shunammite.' So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, 'Take up thy son.' Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." We'll bow, please, in prayer. Lord, we pray that as we have thy holy word open now, that the Spirit of God will help us. Help me to speak the word and help each one here to hear. We have ears, Lord, but sometimes our ears are closed. And I pray that no one would have their spiritual ears closed tonight, but that each of us would hear. And the word would be with power to every heart. Lord, there are some here, perhaps without Christ. They have never trusted in the Savior. And I pray that tonight will be a night of conversion for them. Maybe some listening online. Lord, speak with a voice that is able to wake the dead. And Lord, for the rest of us who are saved, I pray that there would be instruction and that we would be helped along in our Christian path and journey. Lord, give us grace tonight to understand and to put into practice those things which we hear from Thy holy and precious and infallible and inspired Word. Give us grace now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shutting the door with God. Shutting the door with God. I want to speak to you from verse number 33 and that word that Elisha found himself in a most unusual situation. It says he went in therefore and shut the door upon them both, the two of them, and he prayed unto the Lord. The background of this story has to do with Elisha the prophet, who was the servant of Elijah. Elisha prayed when Elijah was taken up from him that he would have a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And it is true, when you follow through the miracles that his servant did, they are exactly twice as many as what Elijah had been able by God's grace and power to do. This story tells us of one of the pathways that Elisha traveled on, frequented, and it was through the town of Shunem. And he was spotted, along with his servant Gehazi, by a very prominent woman in that town, and she constrained him to go in and eat bread, to be refreshed on their journey from the burden and the heat of the day. But it was not just once, for she perceived that this man was indeed a man of God, and she said, "Please, will you come back every time you pass by and stay in our home, and we will show you hospitality, and we will receive a blessing, no doubt, from your abiding presence with us here." And they prepared a little room. It was obviously big enough for Elisha and Gehazi as they would be on their journey. Because of the kindness this woman had showed to them, we are told something that when it came to a certain time that Elisha asked her through Gehazi, "What will be done for you?" And I want you to notice what he said to her and the response that she gave. It says in verse 13, "And he said unto her, Say now unto her," to Gehazi, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." It's interesting because Elisha was in essence saying to her, "You are in this small town and you might be a person of prominence here, But I could speak to you, the ears of the king, or perhaps the captain of the guard, and there would be opportunity for you to be placed into a better location, to have perhaps a better home, a better piece of property, a better garden, a better home in the long run. But she says very humbly, I dwell among mine own people. And so here this woman was very content with the station that she had in life. She was not looking to advance herself. She was not looking to get more. She was quite content with what she had, except from the one thing she had been missing. And that was she had no child. And we sense in the account, because her husband is now old, and it seemed with her, past years of childbearing, similar situation perhaps we had to Abraham and Sarah. It was past the biological years. And yet, as Elisha said to her, you will be granted the request that you have longed for years to have a son. She said to Elisha, don't mock me. Don't lie to me. Surely this is an impossibility. This would be a dream beyond dreams coming true for me, that I could have a child, a son. And it was so that in the season appointed, she indeed did have a son. So what we find as we move down through this chapter, between verse 17, where according to the time of life she gave birth to her child, and the commencement of verse 18, several years have passed by. And you have to pay attention to the context of your reading to put this together. In this case, it's quite simple because the child was born, and the next thing we hear about the child is that he is now old enough to go out to be with his father where they are reaping, and he is able to find his own way there, and quite possibly he'll be working along with the reapers. But what happened was, in the ensuing situation, there was great distress, and the child was overcome with some kind of illness that led him to cry out, my head, my head. And what happened was that the father, perhaps not perceiving it to be that critical of an issue, sent one of the young lads who was there at the reaping, take the lad, the child, back to the mother. And by that time, and whatever transpired, that time distance, and he now comes back to the mother, sitting upon her knee, and he died at noon. Well, the situation now is very serious. And as I have told you about this verse of Scripture about Elisha coming to get alone with God to deal with this particular matter, it was a critical time. And what I want us to think about tonight is that we must get alone with God. We must come to the point in our life where we shut everything else aside, that we come alone with God in prayer in order to face the unexplainable issues of life. And maybe, friend, that you find yourself just in a similar case with Elisha. And there's only one answer for us. There's only one solution to this, and that is that we must be shut away with God. We must get alone with Him. I want you to notice in the first place here that the Shunammite's distress became Elisha's burden. We're told in verse 18, well, actually, if you back up into verse 8, three times this phrase occurs in this chapter and in this chapter alone. It says it fell on a day. It's repeated in verse 11, it fell on a day. And then it's repeated in verse 18, the same phrase. Three times in this chapter, and not at all again repeated in all of the Bible, the Old Testament. It means there was a day. In the first instance, it fell on a day that Elisha met this woman, the introduction. But then the next one has to do with it fell on a day when Elisha's in their home and he's resting with Gehazi, and it comes to his mind that we must attempt to repay the benefit and blessing we have received. So ask this woman what she wants. So first of all, it fell on a day that they met the woman, there was an introduction, and then it fell on a day that there was a specific request. There was going to be a child given to this woman. The last time, and in verse 18, it fell on a day that this little boy runs out into the field where the reapers are, and something happened to him that we don't have any further detail about. This day, I believe, started as any other day. This day started as a usual day, nothing out of the ordinary. It involved the normal activity of washing, preparing, eating, traveling, working. But this day would have scheduled in one of the time slots a sovereign incident. An unexplained providence that no one was prepared for. Father, mother, child. While in the field with his father, he suffered some severe head issue, was taken to his mother, and we know that he died at noon. I want us to think for a moment about this story and this particular word here, and it happened on a day. I wonder, are we prepared for any one of our days to be interrupted by such an unwelcome act of God? An unwelcome act of God. How will we react? What would you do? It is not a bad thing that in the time of peace that we should prepare for unrest. In a time when we have sunshine, we would do well to prepare for the rain. In the time of fall, we should prepare for the winter, for the storms will come. And my dear friends, this is both a practical and a spiritual word for us. It is wise to observe and prepare in faith for the day of adversity. For that day will come to every single one of us in some way or another. And we do not know what any day will bring. But it would be, I suggest to you, very unwise to think that just because we have had many days of sunshine, just because we have had many days where the clouds and the storms have not been over us, and the ice and the snow have not come yet, it would be unwise to think that it will never happen. And it fell upon a day. And what is it that will fall upon the day of our lives that will so arrest us, that will so shake us to the very bottom of our foundation? How will we survive? What will we do? Will we deny God at such a time? Will our faith be so shallow that we will not have the right response? It came upon a day I told you this morning about that situation just outside Boston, New York, with Reverend Phil Owen. A well-seasoned bus driver. He'd been in their company for over 10 years. Much driving experience, day in and day out. Year in and year out. Picking up thousands of children, dropping off thousands of children. And yet on this day, yesterday, on Friday rather, this situation occurred, that this little girl, 7 years old, came out of nowhere, and he ran over that girl, and she was crushed, and she is dead. And now you have a family that is grieving. You have not only the parents who have lost this little child, the granddaughter of one of the mechanics in the shop, and you have families that are hurled into agony and the extreme of pain and suffering. And it happened on a day. And how could you be prepared for that? And I would say to you, outside of God, how do people survive these circumstances? My dear friend, how do we survive? How will we react? You see, this was not a situation that Elisha had brought about himself. The Shunammite's son was placed in the prophet's chamber, and the woman rushed to see Elisha, throwing herself down at the feet of the man of God and saying virtually, "Why have you deceived me? Giving me a child and then taking him away again? I would rather have never had the child to begin with than to have the child for such a short time and then have him taken away." And as she cried out to Elisha, it was not his fault. And yet in one sense he was being blamed for the outcome that was out of his control. Sometimes those in great distress and grief of heart, utter things that are unreasonable and even hurtful against those who have only done them well. You know, at such a time, we need to be more careful. We need to be more understanding. And we need to deal with the issue itself and not so much with the personality. And we can only do this by the Lord's grace. And so this problem that the Shunammite had now become Elisha's problem. And what's he going to do about it? And it makes us ask the question, what do we do when someone confronts us with a problem that may not be ours, our doing, but we must respond to it? What do you do? How will we react? Well, in this case with Elisha, he shut the door to be alone with God. And that became a great battleground for God's servant. And so, yes, the Shunammite came with the problem to begin with, but now Elisha is going to respond. And he responds by shutting the door to be alone with God. And you and I are also exhorted to do the same thing when we are confronted with problems that are beyond us and beyond our control, and sometimes beyond our doing. So Elisha sends Gehazi ahead of them with his staff, and he put it on the boy's lifeless body, and nothing happened. Don't forget, Moses had a staff and a rod, and that staff the Lord used as a purpose, as an instrument for Moses to be able to do great things. And Elisha doubtless had the same type of staff where God had, through that, used it as an instrument to do things, miraculous things. And it was at Elisha's command, "Take my staff and lay it upon the boy." But nothing had happened. So when the prophet arrives, he goes straight to the room. And he sees for himself how serious the issue is. It says in verse 32, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So what does Elisha do? He shuts the door. And now he is all alone with God. For someone else's problem. This, I suggest to you, is the true spirit of the Lord. And I believe that we have here an example of one of the most selfless things that we can do for other people. When you have and are confronted with a burden that someone else has, a heavy burden, and you have so much concern for that situation and that person that you take their burden and you go and get alone with God for them. And you spend your time, you invest your time, you call out unto the Lord, because that is fulfilling the entire law of Christ, that we bear one another's burdens. But we're busy people, aren't we? And so often we're so busy in our schedules and all we have to do, that to think about taking the time and stopping and actually devoting ourselves to prayer, to seek the Lord for the cause of others, it may be far from us. But I would say if we neglect those opportunities, if we neglect those special God-directed privileges, we ourselves will miss out a great deal. We will miss out communion with God on the behalf and account of others, and we will miss out taking on the great aspect of the Spirit of the Savior, for He is the one who intercedes on our behalf. Our Lord has got alone for us. In fact, He went alone to the garden. He went alone to the cross. And today He is interceding on our behalf, on our account. Truly the Spirit of the Lord is a selfless spirit, the most genuine display of love to others, a love for our neighbor, loving them as ourselves, and maybe in some cases greater than ourselves. To get alone with God for them, this takes time and effort. And these two items, they have a high price, don't they? Because our own lives are important to us, and our own time is important to us, and our own effort is important to us. But when these things are expended for the cause of others, we are at that moment in time reflecting perhaps one of the greatest characteristics of our Savior: selflessness on the account of others. You see, the first step of placing the staff did not work. Why didn't that work? Well, maybe because God was going to teach Elijah a thing or two here as well. Or Elisha, rather. And that victory was not going to come but by earnest and concentrated and aggressive supplication. It was going to be a time where he had to get alone before God himself. And sometimes we offer prayers and we wonder, well, Lord, you haven't answered my prayer, and I've asked you a few times. You don't remember when the disciples were faced with a person who was possessed of the evil one, and they could not cast the devil out. And they brought him to the Lord and said, Lord, we prayed, but we couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said to them, this kind comes forth not but by prayer and fasting. In other words, intense supplication before God, getting alone with God and shutting the door. This kind does not come forth but by your heart application of your prayer. This is what this story is teaching us tonight in this account. You know what Elijah had to do? Elisha, he had to leave the world outside. When he went in that room and closed the door, he was alone with that corpse. And everything else was on the outside. with all its pressing responsibilities. And Elisha had many of them, of course. He was a busy man, a busy prophet. You know, the Savior often secluded himself in prayer, rising early in the morning, going to the garden alone. And with the intense demands that he had upon himself, yet communion with his Father was very important. In fact, it was a most important thing. And you know, the Lord would give us a little hint by this account that it's important for us to devote ourselves to be alone with God, because in so doing that, the world is shut outside. And the world demands so much of our attention. And it's also important that Elisha had to isolate himself from distractions. And when we get alone with the Lord, we isolate ourselves from the things that are going on around us. And it's important for us to do that. Because if not, why, our minds will just be buzzing from this flower to that flower to that flower. And we find it so difficult to concentrate, to get alone with the Lord in prayer. Why? Because we have so much going on. And it takes purpose and intention and will and heart to say, I want to get alone with God. I want to shut off the world. I'm going to close off the distractions. Because there's something more important. And it's getting alone with the Lord. That's more important. Because there are important issues that we are dealing with today. There are important issues that you're dealing with in your life, in your family. There are important issues that we are dealing with here in our church, in our denomination. There are important issues we're dealing with in the Church of Christ across this nation. And we're talking about vital issues that affect our freedom. And yet, perhaps too often, we are just consumed with our own life and our own things and our own ways. And we haven't been alone with God. Yes, we need to do that to shut the world out and to isolate ourselves from distractions. And we also need to do it to resist the powers of hell, because they are hard against us. And sometimes the greatest powers of hell against us are just going to be those little quiet suggestions of, well, later. Just get alone with God later on. But not right now, because right now you've got some things to do, but do it later. And what do we often find happens is that the later just never seems to come. Or we're so tired at the end of the day that the later means we fall asleep in our prayers. And how many times has that happened to us? So we need to resist the powers of hell, getting along with God and taking that time before Him, and to wrestle with the Lord in prayer as Jacob did. We're told in Genesis 20:32. That he was left alone and he wrestled with God. And he wrestled with God and he got alone with the Lord in order that God would deal with him. You see, Satan hates to see a Christian in prayer. And he will bring the worst things, my dear friends, to your mind when you're trying to get alone with God. Some of the most vile thoughts enter your mind at the place of prayer. And what are you to do? Just give up and say, oh, I can't take this anymore. No, my dear friend, that's exactly the time where the door's got to be shut. We've got to get along with God. We must see and wrestle with the Lord in prayer. And see Satan defeated at that very point. Let me say to you finally that shutting the door to be alone with God will prove to be the place of the greatest victory, the greatest blessing. Shutting the door to be alone with God will prove to be the place of the greatest victory in our lives. For Elisha, his faith was put to the test, and he proved God that day in prayer. But don't think for a moment that mother was not praying. She was praying for her son, unceasingly so. It's interesting, in Hebrews 11:39, we are told that these women of faith received their dead raised to life again. And I would suggest to you that reference in Hebrews 11 directly refers back to the Shunammite. Women receive their dead raised to life again. My dear friends, we have loved ones that are unsaved and are dead in trespasses and in sins. And to get along with God and pray for them and see God answer our prayers openly in their salvation is a reward that only heaven will truly reveal. What thing in your life is impossible to you? What thing that you are facing today, that we are facing today, is an impossibility for us? Let us bring our impossibilities to the God who says, "Nothing is impossible with me." Because when we step out in faith, we realize that God has said He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So therefore, we are called to pray on. We are called to exercise our faith in the Lord, in His commandments, and following His word to us, men not always to pray and not to faint. And God has called us as this people. Because I say this to you tonight with all heart, this church will not go forward unless its people are praying. We will not see souls converted unless this people are praying. We will not see people restored from backsliding unless this people are praying. We need to get along with God and shut the door. And I pray that we will follow this practical example tonight. And the Savior, whom we come to meet in prayer, that He will come to meet with us. For God loves to meet with His people. And my friend, as we come to Him and ask Him and seek Him, He has promised to be found of us. That's His word. He will be found of us. He will be found of you. So let us seek Him with all our hearts. Let us pray unto Him with all our souls. And bring tonight, bring before God our dead ones, our problems that are beyond our power to revive. And we will see how God will answer our prayers. Let's bow before Him now. Lord, I pray that this account tonight will help us, and the illustration will be taken to our hearts, and that we will walk in close fellowship with our God. Lord, deepen our relationship with Thee. Deepen our fellowship. Cause Your grace to be proved in our life more and more each day. Give us a greater heart for Your things. Wean us away from the world, we pray. And may the Lord be seen in us more brightly as we carry on. So, Lord, strengthen our hearts and part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. May it please Thee, Lord, to save souls tonight through the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus. We ask all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.